Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast, episode 606. I'm joined by Peter.
Hello.
Steve.
Hello.
You're right, Steve. How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been fantastic, thank you.
Fantastic. Oh. That's brilliant.
Tremendous.
Fantastic. That does remind me of, whenever I hear the word fantastic now, right, it reminds me of when I used to work, Steve, actually, I think you were there at the time, Red Dragon FM in Cardiff, and it's now called Capital South Wales, isn't it, or something, or South Wales Capital, yep. Or South Capital Wales. We interviewed backstage at Party in the Park. It's Boyzone, I think it was. I think it was Boyzone. Yeah, it wasn't Westlife. And they were come off stage and one of the first live gigs they ever did. And they were really pumped. And literally every couple of seconds, one of them was saying, "That's fantastic! Fantastic!" So they're being interviewed for, you know, backstage by one of the news girls. And everyone, what would it feel like to you? "Fantastic! Fantastic! Fantastic! Fantastic!" Fantastic! I thought, how many times, you know, it's like a 30-second soundbite that said fantastic about 15 times. I thought, fantastic! I thought, what's wrong with these guys? But that's my first take on Westlife, anyway.
Right, okay.
I think they had media training probably and said, don't say the word fantastic so much. I think, fantastic! Steve, has it really been fantastic your week? Fantastic!
Well, I managed to get two laundry washes away this week because of the sun.
Oh, so. You've been working hard, have you? Two in a week! We do that in a day in our house. Yes. That's how
they're
kids,
filthy,
isn't it?
Wow.
I mean, kids, yeah. No, that's clean. Surely washing is clean. Not, I'd say Steve is dirty. You have only two away. And that's probably, you know, he's only done that once in a year. So, you know, Steve, he knows when to put his bedclothes in the wash when they start snapping. It snaps his bed sheet. Oh, that's another one. I have to go and buy one now.
Snap. When someone asked me about my week, the first thing that pops into my head is not my washing, but that's quite amazing.
That's why it's fantastic. Oh, fantastic. I got two washes away. Fantastic.
Well, I'm not sure what it's like around the country, but yesterday it was sunny and windy. Perfect drying conditions in the garden.
Steve, sorry. I'm just reminding you. How old are you, Steve? Are you shawl on your legs? Keep your legs warm. Oh, I got two washes away. It was sunny and windy. Fantastic. I need our climate. Dry our
Steve, have you got zip-up tartan booty slippers?
No, I've got oak slippers.
Close.
Yeah, have you got a shopping trolley? You pull a little basket there, like a tartan-coloured basket. Yeah, handy those. Steve, did that honestly come to your mind as the first thing you thought of? As a holiday, mm-hmm. Work, fantastic, two washers away. What an empty life you lead. There we are. No, do you know what? I suppose it's nice. If you just tuned in for the first time here and you thought, hang on, I thought this was about stocks and shares. It's about washing. It's about laundry. Hey, welcome to the laundry week. We chat to Pete and Steve about how their laundry's been this week. Steve's been fantastic. And how's your laundry been this week, Peter?
It's been okay. I've managed to get one away.
And that wasn't the laundry.
No, one less than you, Steve. Remember, you got two.
Yeah.
This is basic arithmetic here we're struggling on. But I've got a couple of very exciting bits of news relevant to the podcast.
Go on, let's go. Yeah, as opposed to stuff we've been talking about there that's irrelevant. Yeah, go on.
Well, firstly, I'm now the proud owner of fibre broadband. So I'll be crystal clear from now on with a much better upload rate.
That's irrelevant, really, because people listening are thinking, when are they getting to the stocks? They're talking about their broadband now.
And now I'm getting to the stock because it's courtesy of Sky.
There we are.
Sky's share price will surely be reflected now they hear that. Oh, now the investors hear that I am a Sky customer.
Oh, but hang on. I think Steve is offset.
I've cancelled you out.
Yeah, Steve's cancelled you out there. I think in our group there, on our WhatsApp group, he said he's cancelled his Sky Cinema. So that's.
How much is that, Steve, a month?
well, my 6 months half price has come to an end, so I've cancelled it. They tried to offer me a halfway deal, but I'm not going to take it because I know there'll be another half price before Christmas, so I'll get that before. But I'm not stupid. I know how to play the game with Sky.
Well, how about this with Sky? Because we've opted, because we're out of contract with BT, so Sky, Sky's offer is a free TV.
Sorry,
that's pretty nuts, isn't it?
You got so a free TV?
Yeah, we're going to. Well, we will be.
Hang on.
About 5 years' time.
Is that a transvestite or is it a television?
Both.
Yeah. They just send a transvestite around to change the channels for you. Hurry up, Peach. All right, what do you want now, Peach?
Absolutely free. Yeah. But I thought that's how hard these companies are chasing the customers now.
Chasing the buck. Yeah, chasing the buck. And Steve probably said, listen, I'm cancelling Sky Cinema. I haven't enough time. I'm too busy doing washing. I've got two washes away this week. I've got time to sit down and watch films. What are you talking about? The weather's fantastic.
Although actually Steve likes to sit in front of the washing machine and watch that. That's, you know, spinning around. That's as much entertainment as he needs.
He just sits there one thing and I wonder how this is going to end. It just stops. Oh, yeah, that's it. That's a plot. That's a plot. Listen, so, yeah, Sky. So just to point out, getting back on the socks, it's our second trade in our experiment. £1,000 to £100,000 in 50 trades or less, achieving 10% on each trade. And we start off with 1,000. We got 10. We got 11% on EasyJet. EasyJet there. Wow. Through the floor, man. Through the floor. I'm looking at it. Let me just look at it now. I mean, I saw on the Thursday, people say, oh, I'm buying into that, because they dropped like 7% on a passenger update, which I didn't think it was that bad, to be honest. But they did mention about currency headwinds. And then overnight, on the Thursday night, or early Friday morning, someone with a fat finger, a massive fat Steve. Finger there, yeah, Steve there, just hit the sell button on, you know, pound sterling against dollar. And it went down 10%, which is unknown in forex exchange in one night. 10%. Phenomenal. Just dropped through the floor. And then everyone said, what's happened? Everyone started, and then people started calming down a bit. But of course, that's going to... and Nicola Duke, actually, on the podcast said, when you see a spike down like that, people say it's a one-off. It's not, though. Normally retest that. You very, very rarely see a V-shaped recovery. Very rarely, you know? And so he said, we'll come back to that. So we're still going to see sterling weakness, which is not good for, you know, EasyJet customers, because obviously they're flying abroad. Euro's getting more expensive, everything else. Yeah. So people may hold back on that. So we saw another then 5%, almost 5% drop again in the EasyJet share price. That was our first trade, by the way, in this experiment. That's why I mentioned it. And it's down below 8-9 quid now. And we bought, what did we buy it? We bought it at 9.99. Yeah, £10.
Yeah.
And we took 11% up to 11.20.
And it went up to 12, didn't it?
12.20, so 12.20, and go back. So that is, if that was a plane, you know, you wouldn't want to be on that plane, would you? Up and down, like a crazy strap. That is turbulence, major turbulence.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So anyway, our second trade is Sky. We bought in at, 8.65, I think. It's gone up to 9. Did it go up to 9.30 or something? I look at the chat. Let's check the chats out. But it's a bit of weakness last few days. And in fact, someone on Twitter said, maybe you should sell that. You know, it's looking a bit weak. And I said, I think it's got a bit of support there, 880. And as I looked, it was 885 on Friday. But I think fundamentals of Sky are good, you know. And it's recovering off being majorly oversold. Unless we go into a major market sell down now for October. Of course, September, October, very volatile months for the stock market, you know. So it could we could be just, as is a FTSE 100 stock. I think, I was looking at, isn't EasyJet, has it fallen out of the FTSE 100? They've rebalanced that every now and again, but it keeps going the way it is. It may be out of the FTSE 100.
All right, yeah, good point, it could do.
Anyway, no, I think it has a way to go yet. I don't know.
That's a bit of an anoraki point, though, isn't it? It's fairly irrelevant, whether it's in the FTSE 100.
No, it's not irrelevant, you see, because what fund managers do is a lot of funds invest. They just dedicate stocks to, they just pick from the FTSE 100, that's it. Some of them don't even go into the FTSE 250. And so when it comes to readjusting, they do this every quarter, I don't know what it is, but when they come to look at the stocks that are risen and saying, they say, oh, this stock is now out of the, it's like the Premier League, you know, this company, they're demoted. And so they say, this company is now out of the FTSE 100. So, you know, and fund managers will know this before the date, obviously, because they'll see the shape of the market cap. So they'll be lightening their weight towards that stock and almost selling out. So you'll see a lot of funds, a lot of money start coming out of that stock, you know. But having said that, there are funds that are just positioned on the on the FTSE 350, so they may help us. But, you know, it swings around about the century.
Yeah, okay.
But Sky, I like Sky. It's had, you know, several higher lows, technically very good. Fundamentally, I think it's fine. There is, we know there is, you know, competition now from... Do you know anything about this, Steve? I know nothing about this game, but I'm looking at it, I'm reading about it. In fact, this leads on nicely to the blog post I'm going to write this weekend. I'm not going to mention the company, but streaming, Steve, TV. Do you know anything about streaming TV, Wi-Fi and all that stuff? You're our technical correspondent.
And laundry.
Wow, that went loud.
Yeah, it did. That's his new fibre, see? It's really pumping above his weight. Technical and laundry correspondent, Steve. Well, do you know anything about... I never watch, you know... I very rarely watch TV anyway. But I've got Sky. I watch Sky, you know. But now, apparently, the youth, are not using traditional platforms. They're using, like, you know, apps and all that to watch TV. Do you know anything about this sector? Or are now you too old? Are you out of that bracket?
Well, I only use the conventional ones, which other people are using, like Netflix and Amazon Prime and stuff like that. Nothing... too
how does Amazon Prime work then? I don't use that. How does that work? What do you do? Get Amazon Fire Stick, is it? Or
I got a smart TV where the apps are built into it, so you just put your login details, and it's the same as Netflix, really, but not as much choice.
I see. Well, how much choice is it on Amazon then? What do you got there? What do you got?
Well, I think they're kind of going for the they make their own programs, similar to what Netflix do, but they're concentrating more on that than buying their own programs. And whereas Netflix obviously got a very big back catalogue of stuff, whereas Amazon Prime don't. But they are, when there's a new season comes out, it's quite a big season of something that they've made themselves.
All right. So if I don't buy a smart TV, I want to buy a smart TV because I'm thick. I want to up my average IQ in the household. If I have a smart TV, or if I get a TV, I don't use a smart TV. What's a Fire Stick then? I plug that in, and that enables Amazon. Is it TV?
Yes. So it's like a USB stick, but rather than a USB on the end, it's a like a HDMI plug. So you just plug it into one of your spare ports on your TV, and it turns that channel into I presume an Amazon.
And it streams from Wi-Fi, is it, or what?
Like Apple TV, effectively.
I'm not into that either. You know.
Oh, okay.
Are you into Apple TV?
Well, we use it just really as a casting tool. So you kind of cast stuff off your iPad or your phone or whatever to the box, which then links to the TV. So if you're playing stuff off iPad, I haven't got a smart TV, so you just play off your iPad or your phone or whatever over to your Apple TV, and then that displays on the screen, obviously. But now I've got Sky, it's slightly different, I suppose. I can do it through that, can't I? To catch up stuff and all that.
Yes.
There's lots of different ways of doing lots of different things. My question about Sky, I suppose, is what's going to really trigger a decent uplift in the share price?
Well, it's coming to Christmas, isn't it? Because they haven't released all their Christmas offers yet. They always do packages, which is one of the things I'm holding out for Sky Movies. And they kind of release, and I think they tend to have a bit of a spike then just before Christmas, don't they?
People I'm holding out for a Christmas movie movies. To the morning light. Are you holding out, Steve?
I'm holding out.
So when you chatted to them, did they try? So they said, what did they say to you on the phone? What did they say?
They offered me 25% off for another year.
How much is it? Sorry, how much is Sky Cinema?
God, it's expensive. It's about 17-18 quid, and they offered it for me for £12 for 12 months. But I was like, no.
What is Sky Cinema? What did you get on that?
Yeah.
It's all their latest... It's Sky Movies, basically. They just rebranded. So it's all their new movies.
Okay.
Well, in fact, it's all their movies, but you get, obviously, the new ones as well.
But those come on to normal Sky after a while anyway, don't they? Or what?
No, not unless you've got Sky Movies or Sky Cinema.
No, but I mean, aren't they just new films on there? So 6 months, after 6 months, they filter their way down into free, don't they? Under free play.
No.
Are they?
No, you've got to pay for that, yeah.
What? But they always stay on there. They can't. How many old films are on there?
Quite a few. I think they do kind of rotate them depending on what licenses they've got to how long they can hold the films. But there's quite a good selection of old films and you can just download.
Oh, okay.
When do you find time to watch all these films?
I don't. And that's the thing. If I don't have Sky Cinema for a couple of months, I can then get it in a few months and then just download all the ones that have been on the previous months and then just watch them all at one in like on a
weekend or something. When you download them and keep them on your disc there, and then you cancel Sky Cinema.
They're a little bit clever in that. They disappear from your box. Well, not, actually, they stay on your box, but you just can't play them.
What's the point of that? If they take up your storage, you can't look at them. Well, it's just there for bragging, right, Steve? To show people what you've got in your box. Can't watch them, but this is what I've got in my box.
You can delete them then if you want.
Yeah, well, it's worth deleting them, isn't it? Really? What else are you going to do with them? So, but no, I like Sky, right, because they are cutting edge there. They've got their VR platform. I've seen VR coming out now. They've got VR platform. Yes. You know, EVRH are in that. And I noticed, actually, that Anthony, the CEO from EVRH, is in America at the moment. And there's a lot of VR thing there. It's OC3 going on, which is be interesting to see if he's there, because that's Oculus's thing. And I saw Facebook spending $250 million more on content, VR content, which is what EVRH is all about. Content, you know, content is king. And and queen and prince and princess, because once the hardware's there, I don't understand how far. I mean, I understand Oculus. They, now he's a wireless. He's looking at this wireless headset. You can walk around the room and stuff. But once you've got to the, you know, hit the ceiling with this, it, I mean, how many people are going to go out and buy? How big is the market for like a headset worth $1,000? Not that big, is it? Surely.
I can't imagine it's going to be. No, it's going to be a lot of techie people that, you know, love the gadgets.
Yeah, but they're like this, you know, the very fat, overweight, long-haired dudes who are gamers, and you know, lots of dark t-shirts.
Not tarring them all with the same brush, with, there,
with,
Justin.
With dark t-shirts on, like a rock. You know, that's those guys who, I don't know where they're getting money from. They haven't got any kids. All they do is fast food and gaming. And how big is that market? You know.
Do you know what though? I know you're saying, I think there is a massive market for VR in the future, but. Yeah, when I first got like my big TV, and it was just that little bit big, when you kind of had to move your head a little bit to kind of watch the one side to the other side, kind of gets a bit annoying after a while. So you imagine with VR, when you literally turn your head right round, it's just going to get irritating, isn't
turn
it?
Your head
get
right round. What are you now? That's like the scene from The Exorcist. Your head right round. doesn't give you the ability to have a neck of an owl, Steve.
Well, even worse, then I'm gonna have to stand up and turn around, aren't I? I'm not gonna like that.
Steve's like, give me a washing machine any day. Much easier to watch.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, I don't know, Steve. I think it's gonna be big. But who knows how...
I don't think it's going to be an everyday thing like TV. I don't think that's ever... Same with 3D, that was never going to take off as an everyday thing. And I think virtuality is the same. I think it'll be great for certain things, but it's not going to be a common thing that you're going to go home and then pop your headset on to watch TV.
I think it'll be potentially massive in e-commerce, but I don't know how that will work or if that's possible. Like if you're buying clothes or buying stuff or whatever and you're able to virtually see them on you.
Steve, I can see it being all big. You as a single man, on your own, in your flat, immersing yourself in the virtual world. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Exactly.
Washing machines.
Yeah.
You can walk around every day's a washing day.
You can walk around a washing machine store and look, hey, all right. What kind of spin has this got on it? It's got a 1600 revolution per minute. Well, yeah, I like that.
Oh, yeah. 1600 RPM, baby.
Yeah. I want to take it up to 2000. Oi! Yeah. We got a guy here who knows his stuff. Okay. I think, you know, EVRH is what, 25 million market cap. And, you know, it's got one of the biggest content libraries now, they're saying. And so you've got to, you know, there's got to be some potential. And music, of course, a massive sector, isn't it? And that's where they're focusing on, the music sector. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens here. And I'm expecting more deals. What else will happen this week in the world?
One that caught my eye was the one of your stocks you had on your podcast in your One for Your Watch List segment, Global Energy Development, GED.
Yes.
That's an interesting one, isn't it?
It is interesting, and also it's got news out next Friday. Apparently, there's a loan note, which I think was what, 10 million or something. It's 12 million, I think. Well, 12 million owed to them. But already they were a market cap of like £9 million. They had $21 million in cash.
Yes,
they had an asset as well, which I don't know is an only producing asset. I didn't look into that.
Colombia, or something.
Yeah, I went through the interims. I looked at the balance sheet. I was quite impressed. I thought, wow, they've got this. So they're $21 million in cash already. They've got another $12 million.
That's dollars, wasn't it?
Yeah, dollars. Yeah. But there were another $12 million coming to them next Friday if the loan pays up there. And I took a punt on that. It was never good for me. I mean, every now and again, I get excited like that, and I take a punt. So I did bought some on the Thursday, and I sold it on the Friday. Like Craig David on a Monday. I looked through the interim results on Tuesday. I bought a little chunk on Wednesday, then Thursday and Friday sold it. But right.
Interesting. I bought some on the back of a bit of research of after your podcast, and I'm going to hold on to it. I think.
Yeah, well, I did. Do you know what? I went on a bit of a buying spree this week, and I didn't like to have my cash buffer being depleted. So I thought, do you know what? I thought I'm going to sell this. I was going to make a quick grand profit on it, right? And I couldn't sell it. I couldn't sell it. It's like one of the stocks that illiquid, really hard work. I came away with about 250, 300 quid, I think, profit, which is not to be sniffed at. It's nice for a day, for less than a day's work, you know? But it was annoying that it could have been a grand if I'd sold. Because I put my limit order in, sell limit order in, because I thought, this may go up higher. So I won't sell it straight away. I put a limit order in. It came down at 29 pence. Didn't sell. What's going on here? It's supposed to sell at 29 pence. So, the bid was 29. I thought, what's going on? It's not selling. And so I went in there, just, I'll manually get a live quote and sell. No live quotes available. Oh! So I just want to sell this now. And in the end, I shouldn't have done this. And it's a lesson. Never never sell at best. You know, it's essentially, it's like saying, it's like someone come in the house and, because they're a plumber, how much is this going to cost, fella? He says, oh, I don't know. I says, well, hang on a second, I got to pop out. Use a blank check, fill it in, I'm off out there. That's what it's like doing. So they can charge you any price. But I want to get out before the weekend. I just have a nice, cash buffer. Should anything arise? I bought, you know, what I didn't buy, and I think it's been hammered recently. And that was Noricum, a soon-to-be a Georgian mining corporation.
I
just think they've been hammered a lot recently.
But isn't that one that's a tricky one to buy as well, isn't it?
Because it is. They had consolidation of the share price. So they're now, they're like 0.1, and now they're 10 pence, or something like that, you know? So I bought some of that. So I just thought, they've got a processing plant. It's basically, they've got a good bit of a good size asset. It looks like big. And Greg said in the podcast, you know, this is several multiples of our market cap at the moment. Could be, several multiples. And yet, their neighbour is doing the same kind of thing, and they can share their processing and all that, and so there's a lot of capex that won't be needed, so it's a relatively cheap development here, and so I quite liked it. And also, if you look at the share price, the chart, hammered upon hammered, and I thought, it can't go down much further. It's like a market cap of 4.5 million, and yet they've got good upside here. So I just think longer term, and this is one of the stocks I will hold. It's not a punt, it's a longer term thing. I'm talking about again, we talk about longer term. Some people's longer term are a lifetime, And I say longer term, three days. No, 3 months, 6 months, year, maybe. Who knows? Probably not a year, maybe. But it's definitely a 3-monther, 6-monther, maybe.
It's interesting with stocks. I mean, one that I was looking at this week was our friend Asia Met, which has just come down a bit. Obviously, people are getting bored, selling, whatever. And you go, there's nothing wrong. There's still a very good company with hopefully a very good future and a very good time to buy at the moment with the levels it's come down to. Yeah. I think it's at 2.15
This week I published for the first time ever the top five most followed of all time stocks on the website there. And I'll go through them now, actually. So, have a guess what's the number one.
Of all time?
Yeah, we've all invested in it at one time.
Yeah. Metal Tiger? No, it won't be Metal Tiger. It'll be Andalas.
Nope.
No.
Andalas is number three.
New World Oil?
No, Andalas is number three. No, New World Oil.
Is that Asia Met?
No, that's number four.
Okay, this is since Vox began last year.
Steve had some, you had some. I sold way too early.
Oh, yeah, 88 Energy.
Yes, 88 is number one. Number two, so Andalas is three, Asia Met is four. What's number two, do you reckon? Is fevered, sort of craziness around this stock.
EVRH.
Nope. That's a relatively new stock, isn't it, EVRH? It's not going to be in there, so it's not going to be... What do you reckon? Crazy, there's a lot of hype and hope around this company.
CTAG.
Yep, it is. So we got at one, 88 Energy at two, CloudTag at three, Andalas at four, Asia Met, five, Tulu, which is quite new as well, really new. And six, it's Ascent Resources. Seven, it was African Potash, it's still there because it was very popular a while back. Eight, Keffi. Nine, right? Arm Holdings. That's a big surprise. And 10, coming in at 10, it is EVRH. Mm. So they are the most followed of all time on the thing there. I tell you what I did buy as well this week. Back to my, and I've got this a couple of times, you know, I've been in and out of this stock, but I've been doing some research on it, encompassing something else, and it's Audio Boom.
Yes.
And I know you're in this underwater a bit, Pete, aren't you? I'll down you on these.
No, I actually sold them.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, at a bit of a loss.
Why?
Why did I do that? I think it was based on a conversation we had about, you know, distributing your capital and sort of accepting sometimes when you make a loss and moving on and put it into other things that have actually probably things like PXOG have done well for me. So, you know, maybe.
Yeah, it's fine.
Things like that. Reallocating my capital. That was the phrase.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking, right? I've been looking at the figures. I went through all through the interims, all through the listening figures, all through the earnings, right? And I think this year, the end of this year, hopefully, we'll see an uptick in, because I've been looking at the listeners, and I think they've achieved a billion listeners, right? Since the last couple of years they've been out. This year, I think alone, they'll get half a billion, or just under that, judging on what they've announced. Then the last set of figures they announced was in July, and it was like 48.6 million for that month listens, right? And last year, 12 months, their revenue was 192,000. Not a lot, obviously, for a 15 million market cap. I reckon this year, they could be very close to £1 million in revenue. They've already booked, I think, was it 220,000 for the first month? But I think we're starting to see almost exponential growth. So they're signing a lot more, and they're starting to monetize these, you know, listings they're getting. So I think we'll be close to £1 million, and I think half a billion listens in 1 year. And if you look at that, that's what, a million divided by 192,000. It's almost like six times, you know, last year's earnings. Is that right? Yeah, six times. So if you can see that going forward, and if they keep monetizing the way they are, you know, I don't know where next year's going to be. I think it'd be a whole different company next year. And so the potential, you can see the potential, they are starting to monetize. And they've had it a long time coming, I know. But they still think they're going to break even now. They're still making a loss. They're still making break even in 2017. So I think
I am inadvertently invested in them now because I own some Yolo, which and they've got a big stake in them, Audio Boom. Well, they used to have anyway.
You've got a stake in them, yes, And I just think, you know, they've got a bit of cash in now. They've raised recently. That's always something they look at. They've got this Chinese thing happening, Chinese deal, that's maybe investment into Audio Boom, the $8 million. And it was announced, and I think, and this was postponed. It was supposed to be done by the end of September. This announced that it would be done no less than 2.5p, which was the last placing. So I bought, my average is just below that. So I'm thinking, listen, I'm sitting pretty here, you know? Because I think they can't go back on that RNS. I think the reason for this delay in this announcement of funding is that maybe trying to get away with some kind of deal that may be a little bit below this. But, you know, they can't previously announce in an RNS that, you know, it will be at no less than 2.5p and then do it at less than 2.5p because, you know, there'll be uproar. You know, people will say, well, you just basically lied in an RNS. Why did you say that? Mm. And then do a fundraise a couple of weeks later, less. So there can't be. I mean, you know, Rob Proctor's reputation is on stake there. With that RNS. And you pointed out, Pete, they've got a trading update on Tuesday, I think, isn't it?
They have, yes. It's Tuesday next week, yes.
So it'll be interesting to see the figures they're doing. They did 48.6 million in June. And I've done very conservative figures here. I've done from the start of the year, I've done a pretty much an increase. Let's have a look. I've done an increase here, increments on month to month of just under 5% increase a month. And that puts July at 43 million, which they did 48 to. So I'm saying if it keeps going at this at 0.45%, then they should be at 484,000 listens, just below half a billion. So and hopefully the monetization on that is good. So I think now we're seeing, I know it's been a long time ago, and I've said it a couple of times, inflection point, and I've been let down, but I think this time, I think it will, honestly. Well, we'll see. We'll see. You know, I think this, I know they've started to concentrate on monetization because I've had several calls and several emails from the guys at Audio Boom saying, can we put some adverts? Do you want to put some adverts on your thing? We can earn some money. And the guys at Fox don't want to do that. I said, no, it gets in the way of the listener experience. We just want to.
Well, so that's the problem then, isn't it?
But no, but
everyone takes that view.
No, they're not though. Most podcasts and people, you know, are jumping at the chance. And there's
most, I'm not sure.
And mid-roll reads and all that's happening now, which is more profitable. And so, yeah. No, but what I'm saying is they're very proactive in trying to monetize this platform, being proactive, you know. And so I was just thinking, you know, if the majority of those, well, even if half of those, you know, not even that, but, even a tenth.
Well, how much upside? And this is kind of the reason I kind of probably got out was. And it was based on what we were talking about, reallocating your capital. And you kind of go look at some of these commodity companies where that will hopefully give me a much better return on my money than Audioboom. Yes, I think Audioboom will recover, but to what extent? Like, will they get to 4p, 6p, 10p?
Well, if they can show, right, if they can do a million here this year, right, in revenues, they are, without doubt, the leading, you know, spoken word platform. And I'm just thinking, for a, you know, a market of 15 million, that is nothing to a bigger player in the media world, realizing that most listeners these days, podcasts and all that, you know, it's non-linear listening, you know, listening on demand is the way forward. This is a snip, you know, for it. They wouldn't think twice about buying this company up for, checking figures out there, but say 50 million, you know? Why would they? It's nothing, 50 million for this kind of revenue, an add-on, you know, it wouldn't be a problem. Yeah. So I'm just thinking, you know, and it's all about that. And I'm, you know, why not? The leading online in the world, you know, you can buy that pretty much for less than 50 million. That's amazing. That's a bargain, isn't it? Hey, why don't we buy it?
Do your own research.
Exactly. Yeah. No, listen, I'm saying wait until the trading figures come out, you know, on Tuesday, see where they're at. We know July's last listener figures were at 40, shy of 49 million. Have they increased that? And, Will they give a revenue guidance? Because the first half of the year, the revenue was, what was it? Up to, hang on. What was it? It's 329,000. So the first half of the year was 329,000. The entire year last year was 192. So you can see the revenue increase. So look at the revenue increase. So basically, 6 months, first 6 months of 2015, 46 grand. Last 6 months, 146 grand. First 6 months of 2016, 329,000. See the way it's climbing here? It's gone from 146 in the first half of 2015, 46 grand. This year, almost 10 times that. Almost 9 times that. So, you know, the revenue is going up there.
But I think that's going to happen. That will plateau at some point. And how that will be reflected in the share price will be interesting to see. You know, will that get up to 5p?
This goes back to my model last week, saying don't let revenue get in the way of a good story. Because what happened here with Audioboom? No, Audioboom took off like crazy, like EVRH, you know, took off like crazy. Everything, the potential is amazing, And then, and it is, it can be, you know. And then revenue realization kicked in, and they've got to start monetizing this potential.
Yeah.
And then obviously it drags the share price down. And now we're at the level where I think they're going to start realizing that revenue. And they start saying, see, it is coming on board.
Delivering revenue costs money, doesn't it? So
exactly.
That's the other thing. All the hype and everything of actually what potentially it could generate. Then actually once you get into the nuts and bolts and you actually start working as a company, it becomes, the realism kicks in and you've got to actually, there's all sorts of costs that fly up and that dents how much potential there is.
And that's another thing, they've cut down on, so the loss they're making, it'll be little, but they have, I think it's a figure off the top of my head, they've made a 28% reduction in costs. But they've also invested in technology, apparently, that'll help monetize better and more accurately. So it's all towards the money now, the bottom line. They realize that, you know, you can have this amazing tech platform, but unless it's turning the money in, it's not going to prove the share price up. It's not going to send it up. So I think they're really, the 100% focus is on monetization through listens, you know. And so that's it. It goes through this curve of hype and hope where you get in first of all. It spikes up like crazy. And then, you know, take some prof and then wait and just keep it on your watch. Just hold a little holding there and wait until a couple of years later it starts monetizing that revenue. And then, you know, let's see if it fulfills that hope it had originally. But that's That's it. I think we end it there. And one final word. Steve, any more washes this week?
Oh, no, I've done everything.
Everything?
It's all done. Yeah.
Did you do a whites and a coloureds?
Oh, I don't bother doing that. Just do it all in one.
What?
No, you did two washes. You did everything in two washes. Well done, Steve.
Bedding and towel in one.
Curtains, pillows.
Right.
Duvets, shoes. He did everything. Put everything in there. In two washes. But Steve, you know, but your whites are less than white. They're not whiter than white, are they?
They're not. I do everything at a low temperature wash.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they're not clean.
Right.
I don't tend to, like, poo my pants and stuff, so I'm all right.
Okay, right. And on that note, I've got to go.
Yeah, all right, lads. Thanks, Steve.
Bye.
On that bombshell.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.